Hello, everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. We are so glad to have you with us today as we continue in our study of the Gospels. Because what do we study here at Lon Solomon Ministries, and what do we study at Live with Lon? Say it with me, the Bible. Come on now, the whole Bible, nothing but the Bible, and then we apply it to our lives. That's right, and that's what we're going to do today. But first, we're going to pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the privilege of studying your holy word today. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that it is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, and that we can trust it for this life, we can trust it for eternity, we can trust it for salvation. Lord Jesus, we thank you for giving us the word of God that lights our path and guides our steps. And the beginning of wisdom is to take heed to your word. And so, Lord, help us to do that today. And we commit our time in the scripture to you today. In Jesus' name we pray, open our hearts so we can understand it. Illuminate our spirits. And we ask this in your name, amen. And amen. And a third one. Come on now, you ready? Amen. Here we go. Good deal. Now let's remember where we are. We are in the Gospels. We have reached the point in Matthew, Mark, and Luke, the Synoptic Gospels, where we have gotten to the Last Supper. And we've gone back to John's Gospel, where we're catching up to the Last Supper, and then we'll combine all four Gospels, and we'll study them together as we talk about, you know, the Last Supper, the betrayal, the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension. And then it's my intention, Lord willing, to continue going straight forward right into the book of Acts, because that's chronologically next, and it's such a critical book for our faith. So, that's the plan. Today we're finishing up the 12th chapter of John, and we have a passage today that we looked at last week, exact same passage, and had a so what from that passage. Today, we're going to look at the same passage, but we have a different so what. And I told you last week, when I was teaching homiletics in seminary, homiletics is how to preach. I used to tell my students, look, you should only have one so what per message. If you have two or three, they get lost and people don't remember any of them. So we need one. It's like a cornucopia where we start off at the big end and we press people back with the scripture to the very small end so that they are trapped by the scripture and have no choice but to agree it's true and to understand what behavior change God wants from them. That's good preaching. So there are two great so what's here that I want to talk to you about. The last week we did one of them, and this week we're going to do a different one. Last week, when Jesus said, when you come to me, you won't walk in darkness anymore, we talked about how when we come to Christ, God gives us the true, transcendent purpose for living that only comes from serving and living for the Lord Jesus Christ with our life. He died for all, so that we should no longer live unto ourselves, but unto him who died for us. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. This week, same passage in John 12, different so what. So, are we ready? And just let me say before we dig in, that Lord willing and the creek don't rise, we have a group that we're taking to the Holy Land in October. We leave October 28, Lord willing. If you want to go, let me know. We also, next year, have a group in February going to the Holy Land, a group in October 2025, and in May, we're doing the Footsteps of Paul tour through Greece and Turkey, Ephesus, not all of Turkey, just Ephesus, and then Rome, basically going from Acts chapter 16 to the end of the book of Acts. So, you can check all that out on our website. Call me if you have any questions. Now, let's pick up in John chapter 12. Here we go. Verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. New King James Version of the Bible. Many of the rulers believed in him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him openly, lest they be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, He who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. Have I been so long with you, Philip, that you don't know who I am? John chapter 14. He who has seen me has seen the Father, Jesus said. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. Now there's the comment by Jesus we want to focus on today. He who believes in me, Jesus said, should not abide in darkness. Last week we talked about the darkness that comes from having no purpose in life that's transcendent and not even knowing why we're here on earth. Today, I want to talk to you about not abiding in darkness in terms of our personal conduct, lifestyle, and choices in life. You know, the Bible talks about darkness and light. It makes a huge differentiation between darkness and light. Darkness, both literally and figuratively, is the kingdom of the devil, the kingdom of the enemy. Light, both figuratively and literally, is the kingdom of the Lord Jesus Christ. Listen, John chapter 3, verse 16. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now, let's skip down to verse 18. He who believes in him, that is the Lord Jesus, is not condemned by his sins or her sins to go to hell. But he or she who does not believe is condemned already, because he or she has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation. Look, verse 19, that light has come into the world. Who's that? That's the Lord Jesus. And men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest their deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they are done in God. So here, Jesus clearly compares himself and his kingdom as light, and the kingdom of the enemy and evil as darkness. And we could give other examples throughout the scripture where light and darkness, the kingdom of the enemy, the kingdom of Jesus, the enemy himself, and the Lord Jesus are differentiated by one being darkness, that is Satan and his kingdom, and one being light. And even in the afterlife, what do we know? We know that the lake of fire and hell is outer darkness, Jesus called it. While in heaven, the Bible tells us there's not even any sun, because the Lord himself provides the light for heaven. Okay, so you understand that now. Light versus darkness. And Jesus said, when we come to him, it's so that we no longer walk in darkness anymore. And this is his will for us, that as followers of Christ, we no longer walk in darkness, not just that we have a purpose for life that's eternal and transcendent, that is true. Because he who walks in darkness doesn't know where he's going. Jesus said that here in John chapter 12. Look over with me. Verse 35, a little while longer the light is with you. Walk while you have the light, lest darkness overtake you. For he who walks in darkness does not know where he's going. While you have the light, believe in the light, that you may become sons of light. Who's he talking about? Well, himself, of course. Now, this is the other meaning of Jesus saying that when we come to him, we don't walk in darkness anymore. That our behavior and our conduct is no longer characterized by darkness and the deeds of darkness, but rather by the deeds of light. Let me show you. First, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 8. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Before you came to Christ, you walked in darkness. You were darkness, personified the evil of our hearts. But now you are light in the Lord. Once you've been saved and come to Christ, walk as children of light. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Verse 12, for it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them, people of darkness, in secret. See then, verse 15, that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. As followers of Christ, we don't just walk in the light. We are light in the Lord. We once were darkness before we were saved, but not anymore. And the Bible tells us to walk as the children of light, to behave that way. And I love what it says here, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, for it's shameful even to talk about what they do in secret. How about this verse? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day of the return of Christ, the day, should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. And those who get drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. We are not to walk as darkness. We are not of the night or of the darkness. How about one more? This is Romans chapter 13. The night is far spent, the day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry and drunkenness, nor in licentiousness and wantonness, nor in strife and envy. Listen to this incredible verse. But, verse 14, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Can't say it any clearer than that, my friends. Now, that's as far as we want to go in the passage. We want to ask our most important question now. You ready? Here we go. Come on. 1, 2, 3. Here we go. 1, 2, 3. So what? That's right. And what does my good friend Jackie Gleason say? Here's a sign as you drive into Brooklyn. What's he say? How sweet it is. Or, as we sometimes say, how sweet it is. Yes, how sweet it is, friends. We were once darkness, but now we're light in the Lord. Hey, how sweet is that? We don't just behave like light. We are light in the Lord. And he who has Christ in his life doesn't walk in darkness anymore. We've become light in the Lord. This is what Romans chapter 8 says. Listen, therefore, verse 12, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. That's right. And this is what I want you to take home with you today. We are light in the Lord. We are children of light. And as such, God calls us not to be debtors to the flesh, to live according to its lust, but rather, as Romans 13 says, put on the Lord Jesus Christ, cast off the works of darkness, and put on the Lord Jesus Christ, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. This is what the scripture calls us to as followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. One cannot read the scripture. A person cannot read the New Testament or the Old Testament, the Bible, and come away with any conclusion except that we as followers of Christ are not debtors to the flesh. We are not to live according to the flesh. We are not to act in a way that is unwholesome and ungodly and unholy. We are to walk, Ephesians chapter 5, as children of the light. And let me go back here, Romans 13, to verse 12. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Therefore, let us cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. And now, the Apostle Paul, the Holy Spirit through him, tells us of some specific things that we are to put off as followers of Christ. Watch, verse 13. Let us walk properly as in the day, not in revelry. What does this word revelry mean? Well, it has a sexual connotation, the Greek word. And it's exactly what happened in the Old Testament when Moses was up on Mount Sinai for 40 days and 40 nights and the people got restless and built a gold calf and worshiped it. And the Bible says they danced around in revelry, sexual revelry. I don't think I need to say any more about this. Also, in drunkenness, do not, the verse goes on, walk in licentiousness. Licentiousness means overly sexual behavior, overly sexualized behavior and talk. And wantonness, meaning sexuality. In fact, the New American Standard translates these two words, not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality, is what these two words mean. Again, these words have a sexual connotation. And the Bible is making it clear that this is not how we as followers of Christ are to behave, nor in envy and strife, nor gossip, nor backbiting, nor unforgiveness. These are works of darkness. Yeah, I mean, this is not how we are to live as followers of Christ. We are to live as sons of light with a commitment to personal holiness in our life. Holiness in the way we think, holiness in the way we look at members of the opposite sex, holiness in the way we talk, holiness in the way we relate to other people, holiness in what comes out of our mouth regarding other people, holiness in terms of our heart and what lives in our heart regarding sexual behavior. This is what we are to be as followers of Christ. This is what it means not to walk in darkness, John chapter 12. I just mentioned this several weeks ago. And friends, I'm mentioning it again. Number one, because Jesus mentions it again. And number two, because there's nothing the church of the 21st century needs more than to be admonished about this particular conduct and behavior issue. I am sad. I am heartbroken. I am appalled. I am shocked. I am befuddled. I am confused. Why so many people today who go to church and call themselves followers of Christ somehow, some way, don't understand this principle we're talking about. Not in carousing, not in strife, not in sexual debauchery, not in lewdness and concupiscence, which means being over-sexualized in your talk and in your thinking. Not in unforgiveness. Not in some of these things. I don't understand why. When I came to Christ, my friends, I wasn't right away in a Bible study group. I wasn't right away in a small group. I wasn't right away in a Sunday school class. I wasn't right away sitting in church under a wonderful pastor teaching the word. I wasn't right away in seminary learning the scripture deeply, exegetically. I wasn't in any of these things. All I did as a brand new Christian, 1971, March, is read the Bible. It's all I did as a brand new Christian. And I immediately understood this principle. Why? Number one, any straightforward reading of the Bible, you'll get it. Number two, I had the Holy Spirit living inside of me. Not just God's Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who testified to my spirit, not only Romans 8, that I was a child of God, but who also testified of unholy behavior, convicting me of unholy behavior. And I knew I had to clean up my language, my cursing, and I knew I had to clean up my mind and my lust, and I knew I had to clean up my lewd talking and my lascivious behavior, and I knew I had to stop sleeping with my girlfriend, and I knew that I had to pursue holiness with all men and women. How did I know that? Folks, this wasn't rocket science. All I did was read the New Testament, and it is so clear, you cannot miss it. And so I don't understand today how so many people, particularly our young people, seem to miss this. I think it's the brainwashing of our culture. There's certainly nothing holy in our culture. But it's gotten worse over the last 50 years. At least there was a crust of somewhat holy living 50 or 60 years ago, where people just understood you didn't do certain things if you were a Christian. You didn't look at pornography. You didn't watch movies with nudity in them. You didn't listen to dirty jokes. You didn't tell dirty jokes. And on and on and on. But that's all gone. I remember, I think I've told you this, I was playing golf one time with a person that went to McLean Bible Church. He was a member of the church I was pastoring, and he had taken me out and treated me to a round of golf, and we were playing. I'm not very good. And something happened. We were talking. Oh, I said, I don't give a flying flip about that. And he said to me, oh my goodness. I said, what? He said, I thought there for a moment you were going to say an adult word. Huh. Friends, cursing those are not adult words, as opposed to non-cursing, which are like children's words. I don't know where that came from. I had a conversation a while back with a couple of people. We were sitting at a dinner table, and they were younger, quite a bit younger than I, but they claimed to be born-again followers of Jesus. But the talk was sexually loaded and in the gutter, and the humor was in the gutter, and I said to them, I said, whoa, please, no, can't we pick up this conversation and get it out of the gutter, please? I'm asking you as a favor, please. I really don't want to be part of this. And one of the people there said, oh, so now you're saying we can't have an adult conversation? And I said, yeah, we can have an adult conversation. We just shouldn't, as followers of Christ, be having a sexually loaded, dirty conversation. When did a sexually dirty, loaded conversation suddenly become an adult conversation, and a clean conversation become a childish one? I don't read that anywhere in the Bible. No, my friends, I was befuddled, frankly, by these people at dinner who claim to be followers of Christ, and when I admonish them about having a conversation that was not in the gutter, they didn't immediately say, oh, you know what, Lon, you're right. Thank you. You know what? You're totally right. Thanks for admonishing us. We absolutely need to get our conversation up. Thanks for reminding us that we were backsliding in that area, at least right then for that moment, and we need to get our conversation. Thanks, Lon. No. They belittled me and made fun of me. Like I wasn't an adult or something. What's going on in our world, my friends? I'm sorry, but one of my sons said to me, Dad, you know, you get up there and you preach on guys and girls living together before they're married. Don't you understand virtually every young Christian I know, they're living with their girlfriend or living with their boyfriend and having sex? I'm like, what? The people coming to McLean Bible Church are doing that after I preach on it again and again? And he goes, absolutely. Okay. The point. I don't understand how you and I can have the Holy Spirit living in us, reading the Holy Scriptures, and not get the point that Jesus wants us to pursue personal holiness. I don't understand how that can happen. The only conclusion I can come up with is Romans chapter 8, verse 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the things of the Spirit. Because the carnal mind, verse 7, is enmity, hostility against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, the carnal mind, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh, they're not saved, cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh if the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. Now, if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit of life is life because of righteousness. Therefore, brethren, verse 12, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh. Verse 13, for if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if you through the Spirit put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. For as many as are led by the Spirit, these are the sons of God. And how do we know if we are being led by the Spirit? Well, if we're being led by the Spirit, we're putting to death the deeds of the body and the flesh. And if we're doing that, then that means we're pursuing obedience to God and personal holiness in our life. As the Scripture says, Romans chapter 13, we are seeking to behave properly. Look at this, verse 13, Romans 13. We are seeking to behave properly as in the day. New American Standard Translation now. Let's put it on the screen. Not in carousing and drunkenness. Not in sexual promiscuity and sensuality. Not in strife and jealousy. But put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh in regard to its lust. What's my conclusion? You know what? If an admonition to put on the Lord Jesus Christ and not make no provision for the flesh falls on deaf ears, if my admonition not for us to live in carousing and sexual promiscuity and sensuality falls on deaf ears, as well as an admonition not to slander people and backbite people and be unforgiving when people ask you to forgive them, et cetera, et cetera. If these things fall on deaf ears, something's wrong. If the spirit of life is in us, the spirit of the Holy Spirit, then our spirit will respond to these callings to personal holiness. And if our spirit doesn't, then you know what? I have to say to myself, I severely question whether that person really knows Christ. Really. They may have walked an aisle. They may have prayed a prayer. They may have gone to a Bible study. They may have sung in the choir. They may have gone to Sunday school. They may have given in the offering. But I'm sorry. If we are truly children of God, then the Holy Spirit will be drawing us to personal holiness. And it will be making the Holy Spirit, not it, He, will be making sense of personal holiness to our heart and our life and our mind and our spirit. And if that's not happening, something's wrong. Something's wrong. I hope this falls not on deaf ears when it has fallen on your ears today. But you have said, like I, wow, Lord, help me take it more seriously than I've ever taken it. I am light in the Lord. Help me put on the Lord Jesus Christ, Romans 13:14, and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lusts. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you so much for making it very clear in the scripture how you want us to live and what you want us to pursue. And it's personal holiness in every part of our life, likeness to Christ in every part of our life. Lord Jesus, may that make sense to us. May that resonate with us. May our spirits immediately respond to that and say, yes, Lord, indeed. Help me put on the Lord Jesus Christ every day by the power of the Spirit and make no provision for the flesh in what I think, in what I say, in what I see, in the choices I make, in every part of my life. Oh God, do this for us, because the Holy Spirit testifies to us that we are the children of God. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, my friends, you know, this is just me. I think there's a lot fewer real Christians in our world than we think. I think, and I'm not trying to be judgmental here. I'm just saying, I think there's a lot fewer truly born again children of God in our world than we think. And that doesn't make me happy. I just think that's the reality. Let's examine ourselves. You, me, all of us. Paul says, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, examine yourselves and make sure you're in the faith. May God help us do that. See you next week, Lord willing, on Live with Lon.